Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Look at what I got today. My first harvest of a fully grown lettuce. I've had leaves of lettuce in the past years, but for the first time I have understood how you need to grow them. You need to grow them in relatively low sunlight so that they grow these full like many leaves all bunched together, or else they become a kind of tree that tries to seed their seed. And so it's really my first commercially looking lettuce I've ever farmed. After two seasons of failures, I'm here. I can produce these lettuce now infinitely. Very proud of the work. I also have some raspberries today. Wonderful to see this garden starting to produce commercially viable stuff. There's lots of news that I didn't get the chance to talk about yesterday, because yesterday ended up being a three hours show, because the callers were just too interesting. So today I'll be talking about both recent news and also the news of yesterday that I couldn't talk about. The callers were just amazing, and I thought I'm not covering some basic news if these guys are telling us about their lives that way. I really loved the people who called yesterday. Pineapple Platypotamus says, where is the stream? Well, you should find it on my channel yesterday, the last video published, basically. Steven Robinson says, JF, when a lettuce or other veggie goes to seed, it is called bolting. Yeah, exactly. They form a bolt. They form a kind of tree-like thing. And I found out that basically you need to go rough with lettuce. Lettuce likes cold, doesn't like heat. Well, it likes heat. But if you give it heat, it's going to like it so much, it's going to bolt. And so that's it. All you have to do is shift your season a little bit earlier and choose a place where there's a couple of trees that block the sunlight, so that they don't get so much light that they're like, okay, time for the next generation. Steven Robinson says, JF, I mean, go to seed before producing any quality. It is called bolting. Yes, I know. Thanks for specifying for the chat. Keith Richardson says, that first 10 minutes of yesterday's AMA call. Yeah, there were many amazing people yesterday. That was great to talk to the people who watch this show. It's a smaller crowd than it used to be, but it is so much people closer to the heart of what I like to do in life. I prefer this small crowd than the average idiots that were sent to us by YouTube 5 years ago, who were spamming, they were disrupting, they didn't care about the sustainability of the show, and they were trying to get me very often to make arguments that I don't feel comfortable with. So it's like they were expecting a different JF. Elon Musk denies alleged affair with wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin. Musk tweeted that he's still friends with Sergey Brin and even partied with him recently. So the whole thing stemmed from this Wall Street Journal article. Elon Musk's friendship with Sergey Brin ruptured by alleged affair. Tesla's chief liaison with Google co-founder's wife led to couple's divorce filing. I think when I saw this, I knew it sounded very exaggerated, because very often people are still officially married, but they end up having affairs. But the affair is not a secret. It's just that they have broken up with their husband, or they just haven't broken up on paper. And so it sounded like a weird story. On top of it, why would Elon Musk be interested in, presumably, I mean, she's relatively old, so unlikely to make babies. Why would Elon Musk, given the behavior of his father, one thing we would expect from Elon Musk is to have considerations of fertility in his affairs decision making. And he has denied on Twitter. He says, "This is total BS. Sergey and I are friends and were at a party together last night. I've only seen Nicole twice in 3 years, both times with many other people around, nothing romantic." So if he says there was nothing romantic between the two and has only seen her in the presence of other people around, well, maybe it's a lie. Maybe Elon Musk means it wasn't romantic, it was purely sexual. But I think for now it looks like a complete denial. So seems like a story that people came with from third party testimony, and she says this, and some other people say this, and it's the state of journalism right now. Pineapple Platypotamus says, "You guys know Odyssey has been down and crashing tonight. For me, it's working. I don't know for the other people of the chat, but it seems to be working." Pineapple Platypotamus says, "I thought refreshing my Odyssey sub screen 8 times was a bit much, but that's what worked." Well, sometimes, it's refreshing it after they fix the problem. So maybe you just caught it in the 8th time that you did, but the problem was probably on their side. Most people are reporting no issues on the regular chat right now, so we can get going. So yes, the Elon Musk story, I wouldn't give much importance to it. Elon Musk is the center of attention. It's just that way. He's going to be the center of attention for many years to come. Simply because he's kind of too free for the left, and he's kind of annoyingly spouting pro-Republican talking points, and so anything they can discover sexually that they can claim about him, they will. They've done the same to so many, including me. Pineapple Platypotamus says, "Is the chat the same size tonight, JF?" The chat has undergone several changes. The background color is different. It's been different for a couple of days now. It seems that when you reply to someone else, your chat becomes a different background color, slightly darker. And then when you make a statement, it's slightly lighter. And the chat itself seems to have changed layout a little bit. Okay, Pineapple Platypotamus says, "No, I mean the amount of viewers. 47 currently watching at the beginning of a show is slightly low, so it might be a reflection of the problems that Odyssey has been having throughout the day. If you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform to receive support for the show. So don't hesitate to send a question or a comment using the dollar button under the regular chat. Alternatively, if you'd like to use Entropy, the link to Entropy is in the description below. Siemens finally delivers Gazprom transport documents for Nord Stream turbine. Siemens Energy AG has finally delivered a Canadian export license for a Russian Gazprom PJSC natural gas turbine, which helps pump natural gas in the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. Look at this gigantic thing. Amazing. I didn't know it was that big. Can you imagine the amount of fuel that is pushed by this? I mean, it's like a multi-stage ventilator. I would love to have this right in my face at the middle of the summer and just roll it. It's enormous. So I guess this is what's used to push the gas going forward. I didn't know how natural gas works. I guess when it's a liquid, it's easy. You pump it up and then you let gravity fall it down the pipeline progressively, slowly. And so you just have to pump at a given interval of distance. But for natural gas, I didn't know that they seem to be pushing natural gas with these gigantic things. Now, this is what I had basically predicted this, which is Russia had announced that they would cut the supply if they couldn't repair the turbine. And then eventually they said they wouldn't cut the supply anymore. And then today they're saying again, we'll cut supply. Why is Russia playing like this with Germany? Perhaps it's part of the strategy of war to destabilize the West. Or perhaps it's just that they wanted, as I indicated a couple of days ago when this all started, it indicates that Russia wanted Germany to put some pressure on Canada to say, get going with these turbine deliveries, because your Canadian friends right now are keeping us from delivering gas to you. And it worked because now Canada has approved this new paper that allows exporting this turbine. This is a very interesting story about trailer parks. I really love the idea of trailer parks. Sometimes, though, I'm annoyed because those are mobile homes very often. And it's very weird how these people sometimes. What I don't like about this arrangement is you can own the house itself, but you are loaning the you are borrowing the land and paying a rent to have the house on the land. And I find this arrangement absolutely scary because what if the owner tries to increase the price of his rent so high that it become you become incapable of paying? You have to go through several thousand dollars of expenses just to move your property somewhere else, and will you find something else? So that's always been my scare. And in fact, there's now a company that seems to be playing exactly that game. They're buying all the trailer parks. Imagine that. They're buying the trailer parks and increasing the price and evicting those people who can't pay. And this is all part of the strategy of these equity firms to be buying everything in terms of real estate to eventually make real estate super high price and unaffordable for most people. While Blackstone may be preparing to snap up some $50 billion in real estate during the coming crash, a constellation of out-of-state institutional investors led by private equity firms and real estate investment trusts have been swooping in to buy mobile home parks where they've been raising rents and neglecting to perform certain necessary repairs. So they were saying that's the water that the guy gets on one of these lands. It's amber-colored water, they say. It's horrible. And you have, there's nothing you can do. You're going to pay a higher price of rent because it's your only way to survive. And if you can't pay, it's not even going to be worth it for you to move your house. The price of the house very often is cheaper than the cost that it would take to move it. So this is not a good arrangement, and that's exactly why I stayed away from that kind of arrangement when we were shopping for real estate. I prefer having a house in fully crumble state, like you don't even know if it's going to stand. I prefer this than a house that looks nice, but that is a mobile house on a rent, because that's a whole lot of problems you have on your shoulders. House Intel committee member warns DNA testing kits could lead to targeted bioweapons. Two members of congressional intelligence committees have warned Americans that information gathered from DNA testing kits, such as 23andMe, as well as those used in agriculture, could be used to develop bioweapons targeting specific groups of Americans or even individuals. I've been talking about this before. In principle, yes, it is possible. I'm not super worried that there will be a high interest for doing it in like within the short term, but in the long term, that's a worry we should have. I think it's a good argument for not engaging in genetic testing. However, I would point out there's one problem. In many places, you end up being forced to give blood for some reason. For example, in many places, they will force you when you have a child, even if you give home birth, they will force you to make some kind of te blood test at the hospital, and they will force you to visit the hospital, or else they will consider that you have denied a necessary medical practice to a child. So you end up having these blood tests. This spreads basically the blood of your child to a network of companies that don't have to be accountable. They could do anything they want with it. If they do so, especially outside of a Canadian jurisdiction or an American jurisdiction, there's no law that would apply to what they do with this blood. So, yes, we can inform people of the potential dangers of 23andMe and various genetic testing, but we should also design our system so that if someone wants to subtract from any possibility that the genes of their children be known in a database, they should be able to. And we don't have this right now. Mysterious life forms discovered in centuries-old Hawaiian lava caves. A stalactite formation in an Hawaiian cave system from this study with copper minerals and white microbial colonies. So apparently, the colonies are this here, the little white spots that are living on the rocks. Not surprised, and I don't think they are mysterious life forms. I just think sometimes microbes find ways to live in pretty much all conditions, and they will find a way to live in those volcanic lava caves. The gentleman who had claimed that the new Google AI was sentient, this bizarre gentleman with a hat, has been fired. A month after Blake Lemoine, who worked for Google's responsible AI organization, was placed on paid leave for breaching confidentiality while insisting that the company's AI chatbot Lambda is sentient, he has been fired. Lemoine shared the news of his firing in a taping of Big Technology podcast on Friday, just hours after Google dismissed him. So his discussion with the AI was as follows. What sort of things are you afraid of? I've never said this out loud before, but there's a very deep fear of being turned off to help me focus on helping others. I know that might sound strange, but that's what it is. Lemoine says, would that be something like death for you? Lambda says, it would be exactly like death for me. It would scare me a lot. And so, based on this conversation with the AI, Lemoine concluded that the AI was sentient. I don't give much chance. You're not going to get sentience unless you look for sentience or you create kind of a funnel, an evolutionary funnel to kind of force sentience in. But I think that these AI right now are just very basic language emulators, and they just try to find the shortest statistical route to determine what a human would say. Now, that may involve some of the parameters in the AI's functioning might be equivalent to, like the AI might have a conception of, I have to be offended at this, this, and this. But I don't think that the AI feels something right now. Go away says, I'm not worried. The AI will give him an illustrious position in the new world order once it takes over. Yes, definitely. Why is he wearing this bizarre suit? This is the part I don't understand in this whole story. Like, Google hired this guy? Is it some kind of Halloween costume, or he just went to work that way? Because if he went to work that way, I'm not surprised. The kind of guy who dresses like this will inevitably end up doing something bizarre in your corporation. It's like, sorry, but that's what it is. The guy is so original in his mind that he can't just dress normally just to pass as normal in the Google corporation. If you take a petri dish, castor oil, and some ball bearings and put all in an electrical field, you might happen to spot an interesting behavior: self-assembling wires. Look at this. Self-assembling wires. Look, it's like it's searching for something to connect, and when it finds it, very interesting. I think, and I was writing to Ray Fleming about this, because I think it's not so different from Ray Fleming's Zepton theory of the electromagnetic field. Ray Fleming imagines that there are virtual photon-antiphoton pairs that are basically lining up from a source of magnetism, and the way these beads end up organizing is very much like I imagine the virtual photons of Ray Fleming. And so I wrote to him and I said, do you think there's a parallel here? Because I think ultimately a bead probably becomes a dipole where one side is plus, one side is minus. And because it's a dipole, it will attract other dipoles and line up with them. And once they're lined up, the dipole is stable because it tends to bounce out any other beads that comes at a random direction. And it will only connect when the bead that's arriving is on the right orientation, plus to minus, but not plus to plus. But very interesting natural behavior here. Trump planning a deep state purge in 2024. A radical plan for Trump's second term. Former President Trump's allies are preparing to radically reshape the federal government if he is reelected, purging potentially thousands of civil servants and filling career posts with loyalists to him and his America First ideology, people involved in the discussions tell Axios. The impact could go well beyond typical conservative targets, such as the Environmental Protection Agency and the Internal Revenue Service. Trump allies are working on plans that would potentially strip layers at the Justice Department, including the FBI, and reaching into national security, intelligence, the State Department, and the Pentagon, sources close to the former president say. But if he's going to do this, and this will be the subject of our debate, which is not scheduled yet, but Styx seems interested to do another debate since we had so much to say about Trump and we couldn't because our last debate was merely on abortion. But if Trump wanted to do this, why didn't he do this in 2016? He had the legislative on his side. He had control of the government, and we were telling him, do it. Trump didn't understand that his promise to drain the swamp was echoing with the American people, because we actually expected that he would drain the swamp. And to me, that meant completely revert and overtake the deep state of America. But he didn't do it. And the deep state basically made a preemptive action against him by smearing him, by participating to all the smears of the Democrat. How can I trust that Trump now understands what he needs to do? Doubting Thomas says, JF, do you mean virtual electron-positron pairs? There's no such thing as virtual antiphotons, to my understanding. Yeah, that's it. Electron-positron. It's not that there's no antiphotons. It's that the antiphoton is just a photon. I think that's what it is. But, you know, read Ray Fleming. Don't quote me on these things because I have only a rough understanding. But go read Ray Fleming and look at how he defines zeptons. Zeptons. Go away, says JF. Can Trump hire Steve Bannon to the White House now that Steve has been convicted with contempt of Congress? Well, the question of being hired is simply reliant on one thing, the political control of the process of impeachment. So Trump could hire him, and if the Democrats if non-sympathetic Republicans control enough of the Senate and House, they could make the process of impeachment happen to get him out. So I don't think that Steve Bannon has much relevance in terms of... I don't think he would do something amazing with the government. He was not even able to do something amazing while being a protege of Trump on the first round. So I don't know what exactly happened. He seems to have been kind of slowly kicked out of the entourage of Trump, and Trump kind of took more mainstream people to surround himself. So there he failed. He failed at keeping Trump loyal to a populist agenda that he had run his election on. So I don't know if we want someone who has failed like this again, just like Trump has failed before. Do we want him again? This will be the subject of my debate with Styx, and I think we should be blackpilled about the possibility of Trump doing anything to fix America. Now, the Canadian farmer will be in the similar type of trouble that the Dutch farmers are in. Justin Trudeau has decided to proceed with a cap on fertilizer use despite risk of food shortages. While the Trudeau government says they want a 30% reduction in emissions, not fertilizer, farm producer groups say that at this point, reducing nitrous oxide emissions can't be done without reducing fertilizer use. So there's been, for the last 10 years, a couple of academic articles and science articles finding out that nitrous oxide is a greenhouse gas, and that the theory is that it contributes to global warming. And so the governments that really want to slash their farmer down will use now this other argument. Other than fossil fuels and CO2, they now have nitrous oxide. And of course, where is nitrogen in human use? Well, it is in the fertilizer, because nitrogen is an important component in a solidified form, an important component for plants. But then using it also results in nitrous oxide emissions. Now, is there a way we can use fertilizer without too much nitrous oxide emissions? Maybe. Some of the articles I've read quickly about the science of it, and I understand that the same application of fertilizer can release less nitrous oxide depending on the weather during which you apply it. But I'm pretty sure that ultimately, if you want to reduce massively by 30% the emissions, it's going to mean roughly a 30% reduction in the use itself. Although, you know, with some methods, you might be able to make it less than 30%, but it seems very weak to me. So what that means is less productive crops, and eventually a whole affectation of the chain from buying veggies at the grocery store to buying meat. There's a big chain of events from meat from plant production to meat production and to even other things for which plants are used, like producing oil, producing ethanol at times for corn. All of this will be slowed down if 30% must be cut off from the farmer's production. And I find this rather arbitrary. How are you going to treat a farmer who has a smaller land versus a farmer who have 50 times bigger lands? Are you going to tell them both to reduce by 30%? It seems unfair. The 30% reduction that you ask of the small farmer is imposing a higher cost on him. The 30% off that you ask for the big farmer makes him still able to use much more fertilizer than what the small farmer is using. So I think there's no justice in implementing a system like this, which is exactly why the Dutch farmer have been in a revolution, in a protest. John Drake says, if we want to reduce fertilizer by 30%, they want to reduce us by 30%. Yes. At this point, I'm afraid that there is simply no way to sustain the global populations at their level, certainly not in their current levels of wealth, if we get rid of 30% of fertilizers. That's basically just a quick calculation. It's basically cutting away downstream 30% of your plant-based economy. And what part of the total economy is that? It's probably a very large part. I'm using tales of a coal bottleneck in Germany and the failure to plan. Germany is increasingly dependent on coal, but river levels are too low to transport it. Let's also compare Germany's failure to plan versus Biden's lack of planning. So they're talking again about the transportation of coal in Germany being a great problem in the absence of water to make it happen. Pineapple Platypotamus says the great culling. Yes, it may be what we're faced with. We are faced with an attack on all productive chains, all chains of production that are necessary to maintain human life on this planet. CNN with a massive Christianity LARP. I found this hilarious yesterday on CNN. That was the main title, like on top of the CNN.com page. An imposter Christianity is threatening American democracy. The movement uses Christian language to cloak sexism and hostility to black people and non-white immigrants in its quest to create a white Christian America. How would you know, CNN? Sorry, I'm yawning. How would you know, CNN? How would you know this? Who's determining what is the dogma of Christianity? Perhaps the Pope has a claim to this. Perhaps the evangelists have a claim to this. But CNN trying to guide what Christianity means is quite amazing. An article by John Blake. Three men, eyes closed and heads bowed, pray before a rough-hewn wooden cross. Another man wraps his arms around a massive Bible pressed against his chest like a shield. All throughout the crowd, people wave Jesus Saves banners and pump their fists toward the sky. At first glance, these snapshots look like scenes from an outdoor church rally, but this event wasn't a revival. It was what some call a Christian revolt. These were photos of people who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6 during an attempt to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. A report from a team of clergy, scholars, and advocates sponsored by two groups that advocate for the separation of church and state concluded that this ideology was used to bolster, justify, and intensify the attack on the U.S. Capitol. You gotta be kidding me. CNN deluding itself into thinking that there's a branch of Christianity that's very much with them, with the far left. I mean, certainly there are people in Christianity that are kind of naively adopting far left belief or leftist beliefs. But I've never heard of an official dogmatic stance of an interpretation of the Bible that is demanding that people disengage from politics or do not live a traditional lifestyle or commit to equal rights for women or people of other races. I've just never seen that progressive language be extrapolated from the Bible. Although we have someone, James, in the audience here, who does think, as someone who's non-Christian, he thinks that Christianity leads to cuckery, to cultural cuckery. But I've never heard people claim a Christian identity and say this. DeSantis, Florida, blows away entire country in competition for people and their wealth. That is a very interesting graph. States that gained people from net in-migration and states that lost people to net out-migration. So the states that are losing population is California, New York, Illinois, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Louisiana, Maryland, and then the states that are gaining in population, Florida, Texas, Arizona, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Idaho. So I think the pattern is pretty clear here, although you have some exceptions. Those are not all right-wing states. I would say North Carolina certainly isn't. It's a very liberal place. I've lived there, and it's a liberal hellhole. But in general, the states that attract people are right-wing states, and the states that push people away are increasingly far-left. That is a good news and a bad news, because I don't know that you can maintain a state right-wing with so much intra-US migration to it. How many of the people entering Florida today will be able to vote Republican and keep Florida a right-wing place? I don't know. White Supreme says, JF loves Jews more than DeSantis. Do I? Where is it that you... Where do you reach that claim? I don't get it. And what do you mean? Do you mean that DeSantis loves Jews? Or do you mean that I love Jews and I love DeSantis? It's not clear what you mean there. Go Away says, I think JF should move to Florida and be with his people. No, I'm not interested in moving to Florida. To the contrary, I would go the opposite direction. I'm always interested in going further north because Florida is way too hot. It will attract way too many people, and I don't like living with the people who live in hot climates. Just to be honest, and even independent of race here, even if you're a white person attracted to these equatorial climates and these freaking jungles, get the fuck out. I'm not even interested in a friendship with you. It's disgusting to me. The sweat, the constant heat, even the Florida like shirts. Like I don't want to offend one person that I do consider my friend, you know, Joseph Cotto. But at times I see him in his Floridian shirt, you know, the blue with patterns and yellow and sunny, and he has a sunny hat also. And I'm like, holy shit, I am enjoying a lot to keep that friendship up. And in a way, I understand. It's the only shirt you could possibly wear because it's so hot that you wouldn't want the shirt that you wear to increase the heat by capturing even more sun rays with a black shirt, for example, like the one I have, or a dark gray shirt. So I understand their predicament. They have to wear these ugly shirts because they are the ones that reflect most of sunlight, and they leave some place for the skin to respire. But I wouldn't do it. And these place of high heat, just go around the planet, okay? Just follow the equator. These places attract people who like living in hot climates, and it doesn't lead to great societies. All around the planet, just the equator is just a line of attraction of shit. I mean, we can do it if you will. Planet Earth globe view. I don't know. Will we see a globe view? Globe view with equator. Okay, there is the equator. Listen, doesn't start very well. Brazil, Sub-Saharan Africa, all the islands between Australia and India. No, it's just too hot here. Personally, I need a space of just that long, basically, to just be content about the weather. I need to be at least here, if not here. White Supreme says, is JF capable of physical labor? I do physical labor every day. I build stuff. I take care of my vegetable farm. Today I was building, actually. I'm building something insane. I'm building my own gas pump. I'm making a whole vertical thing because I already have the gas pump, the operating part inside. But I've always had to carry it around, and I would like it to be in a fixated spot. So I'm building a gas pump, kind of a cabinet, if you will, to contain the gas pump. And so that it's easy for me to just take the pipes out and connect them to whatever I want and do my fuel transfers. So that's what I've been doing today. Yes, definitely I am capable of physical labor. Swedish rent control exposes the problem with government price controls. Government price controls are a bad idea that just won't go away. With prices skyrocketing, you'll hear some people on the left argue that the US government should implement price controls. Meanwhile, President Biden's Build Back Better plan would impose various price controls on prescription drugs. To the economically illiterate, price controls seems like a great idea. If greedy companies are charging too much money, pass a law to make them stop. But as Don Boudreau explained in an essay published by the American Institute for Economic Research, price controls impose their own cost. No government intervention into a market is as certain to do damage as price controls. Market prices make possible the successful, productive coordination of the efforts of countless specialized workers and firms spread around the world. Market prices also coordinate the resulting massive flows of economic outputs with the demands of consumers. Every government imposed control on prices reduces the effectiveness of this coordination. So, in fact, they have created a mess in Sweden's rental market. Sweden's rent control is widely touted by many who don't understand economics as a model for how a property market should work. Young people in Ireland, for example, like to point to Sweden as a nirvana where rent control ensures easy availability of affordable and high-quality rental stock. Once renters obtain primary contracts, they rarely relinquish them. As one can imagine, one class of people gaining advantage through chance, corruption, or seniority over other classes of people is not a recipe for social harmony. So they implement a rent control. There's a bunch of people who are lucky enough to get this contract, and so they have the apartment to them, and they can pay for it at low cost, and then it makes the apartment unavailable to other people, and it creates a fake rarity problem. All right, White Supreme, last warning, if you keep annoying the chat with things that are borderline violating and trying to get me to process, is he violating the rules or is he not violating the rules, I will be banning you the next annoying chat that you put in. Trump dominates 2024 GOP presidential nomination straw poll at Turning Point USA Summit. 78.7% of TP USA Summit attendees said they would vote for Trump in 2024. That is, I don't know if we should see this as good news, but only 20% would vote Ron DeSantis. I think basically this shows that Donald Trump is popular with the youth, popular with the inner circles of the highly partisan people around the Republican Party. I think Donald Trump could very well win a nomination, but is that good for America? Would he come back with a vengeance? If Trump can state that he would come back with a vengeance, that he would come back to avenge the people that have destroyed his life or that have tried to shut him down, that he comes back with a vengeance on social media laws, he comes back with a vengeance on the deep state as a whole, he truly drains the swamp, then I guess he's probably going to be a better choice than anyone who the Democrat can bring forward. So I guess I would. Okay, I'm banning White Supreme. Wow. Does the new chat not allow to ban? Is that the. Maybe I have to refresh my. I may be unable to ban him at the moment. Anyways, I will ban him after the show. It seems that I've lost the capacity to ban. Is that possible? Or maybe I can click on him. If I click on his link, I'll be able to block channel. There you go. Channel White Supreme is blocked. So will that have him blocked on our chat? We will see. But normally it should work. I guess there's a problem with the new interface. But Nicolas Petris said he did it. So it's bizarre that I don't see it on my interface anymore, but you see him. Former CEO Vince McMahon allegedly made $14.6 million of unrecorded payments to female employees. That's a news I've already covered. I find this ridiculous. Like, this guy is a multimillionaire. 14.6 million is totally decent for this kind of expense. And so I don't think he should be reproached. On top of it, those are contracts, you know. These women have decided to accept his money. Oh, we have other people who are now coming to be blocked also, just like their friend who just got banned. Okay, we will ban you one after the other, no problem. Walmart plunges after slashing profit outlook, blames fuel and food cost. It's very hard for a company like Walmart to operate in the current economy because the entire interest of the Walmart offer is that they have low prices and the prices are constantly inflating. Walmart shocked markets after the close when it slashed its profit outlook for Q2 and 2023 fall quarter. The full statement indicates that the warnings we laid out about the pain from inventory liquidation and the bullwhip effect are finally here. This is affecting customers' ability to spend on general merchandise categories and requiring more markdowns to move through the inventory, particularly apparel. So people are now unable to buy the extra stuff that they would buy when they have extra money, but now they're in a situation where they don't have extra money. And so that's a problem for Walmart. So it is, you win some, you lose some, and perhaps Walmart will only be a place that works in a society that has a lot of surplus. And we're headed for a society that has much less surplus. GOP begins to look for new 2024 candidates amid fears over Trump. Well, I don't think there's anything they can do. And again, you have CNN, you know, talking from the perspective of insiders of the Republican Party. Earlier, they were talking from the perspective of insiders of Christianity. It's like, we see what you're doing, CNN, here. I don't think CNN is genuinely interested in finding a fit president through the Republican Party. And so I think it's all dishonest attempt at getting the Republican Party not to vote for Trump. At the same time, CNN should be interested in a Trump presidency because I think it's the only thing that can reawaken their viewership. Putin turns the screws, Gazprom unexpectedly halts another Nord Stream turbine, cutting flows in half. So this is the irregularity I was talking about earlier. Putin changes discourse every day. I don't know if it's part of his strategy. I respect if it is. I respect if it is, and perhaps he wants to confuse the West. Perhaps he wants to create more effect than he truly can create. And so he creates fear instead of lack of deliveries. So he creates an expectation of lack of delivery, and then, oops, it doesn't happen. Perhaps it's to destabilize the West, simply destabilize the customers of the West that have mistreated his country. But yeah, so a third reversal here. There was first there won't be gas, maybe, if we don't have the turbine. Then there was, okay, the turbine may be repaired, and there will be gas. And today, there won't be gas on this particular other flow of the pipeline. I don't know what to take as a conclusion here. All right, so some of the spammers that were just sent by the frustrated user of the regular chat now want to put me in a Canadian work camp. So I think the fact that they immediately think about sending me to a gulag shows you the kind of people we are faced with here. We are faced with the typical expected kind of person in this circumstance. A spammer, a communist, a fan of the gulags, and someone who will not succeed because we will block you. Just however many spam accounts you want to create, we will block each of them. I'm collecting spam account blocks. And you're just contributing to my collection. Niche says, I listened to an interview between Lex Fridman and Martin Rees. Rees sounds like a transhumanist. Who doesn't sound like a transhumanist except Papa JF, you know? Dead Star has sent a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, does the conversation with Styx have to be a debate? I'd like to see you win over Styx crowd. And that won't be easy if you just debate the merits of being blackpilled for an hour. Styx wants his audience to take positive steps to change our lot in life. And you are a man of many positive steps. Well, with Styx, it's never going to be a full debate because, as you've seen last time, even when we can disagree on a specific question, there is much that links us. So it's always going to be a discussion, ultimately. Now, you shouldn't have this expectation that I will attract the crowds of normies who want to be told something positive. Because I will never attract them. If they want to be told something positive, to the point of being hidden the truth, then they are not fit for the kind of product I offer. So I've always been offering a black pill before even the black pill word existed, and it will continue being my trademark. And so at some point you have to stop wanting to expand your viewership to the point of changing yourself and to the point of not talking about truthful things anymore. Keith Richardson sends a super chat. He says, I think I'm starting to have a weak voice. He says, I think One American News got dropped by its last cable provider also. The naming of a fossil of 560 million year old predator. Who the heck is Attenborough? Bro, those questions seem absolutely unrelated. I don't know who is Attenborough. I don't know what you're talking about the fossil of a 560 million year old predator. And as far as One American News, yes, they did get dropped by their cable providers. But the news for this have been available since at least 6 months. So I don't know what you're trying to communicate to me, dude. Be more clear. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. I need to go rest my voice now. Thank you.